Hi, welcome to the Hona Cafe. What can I get you?
Hi, I'd like a pint of Guinness with a world record, please.
Coming right up. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us at the Hona Cafe. Grab a drink and a comfy chair, because we have a spooky tale to tell. But first, let's talk drinks. So I'm the only one that's drinking, you know, a tea or a coffee today. I already said that.
Yeah.
But I'm drinking a taro flavored I'm drinking a taro flavored bubble tea, which taro is a potato.
Purple potato.
It's a purple potato. A potato flew away, mommy.
When you walked in something, I don't know.
It's actually really good. It's got, like, a really sweet flavor to it. I was just surprised, and I really like it. It comes in a little can with tapioca beads, or is that what they're called? Beans?
Tapioca pearls.
Pearls, yeah. And, I don't like the pearls, because I don't like the flavoring. Or, not the flavor, I don't like the texture. So, I kind of dumped those out. But the bubble tea, the milk bubble tea itself tastes really good. So, give it a try. So, today, we're going to be talking about the Guinness Book of World Records. Alan, how much do you know about it? You knew a lot more than I thought, because I actually didn't know a lot about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I couldn't tell you, like, world records, you know what I mean?
Like, what there are, yeah.
Yeah, what they are and stuff like that, but
yeah. I didn't really know, like, how it got started, which I am going to talk about, but you did, which surprised me.
Yeah, I did.
You actually knew a lot about it.
Yeah.
So, I kind of just wanted to first talk about what a Guinness World Record is and give a little bit of the history of the books and, like, stuff like that, because honestly, like I said, I personally knew nothing about it. You knew a lot, but I knew nothing.
A Guinness World Record is...
Record?
Yes. A Guinness World Record is a pint of Guinness that is a world record for being the most full.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, honestly, that
it's probably in there.
So I did want to go over what is a Guinness World Record. In simple terms, a Guinness World Record can literally be anything as long as each record it must fulfill all of the following criteria. They must be measurable. Can it be measured objectively? And what is the measure of, like, unit of measurement? So, like, inches, feet, liters, distance. It has to be measurable.
That's what she said.
And it has to be breakable. Can the record be broken?
That's also what she said.
Mm-hmm. Our titles, which I took this directly from the website.
Mm-hmm.
It says our titles must be open to be challenged. So, like, it can't be the most hair pulled from Arnold Schwarzenegger's head. Like, you can't be so specific that, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's
gotta be versatile. Like, anyone can do it.
Anybody can do it at any point in time, anywhere.
Yeah.
So, standardizable. Can the record be repeated by someone else? Is it possible to create a set of parameters and conditions that all challengers can follow? So, like, for example, it's like, how many marshmallows can you fit in your mouth? Like, you can find, you know, they can get, like, the specific ones, and, you know.
Mine's 7.
Mine's, like, 3.
I know those are the big marshmallows, too, by the way, not the little ones.
Yeah, you got a big mouth.
Yeah.
Verifiable. Can the claim be proven? Will there be accurate evidence available to prove it occurred? And it has to be based on one variable. Is the record based on one superlative or measured in one unit of measurement? Basically, like, is there only one objective? Like, fastest runner, strongest man, like, you know. It's not like, with the wind blowing at a certain degree, can this dude, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, the best in the world. Has anyone else done better? If your record suggestion is new, then the Guinness World Records will set a challenging minimum requirement for you to beat. So, some examples that I found online are Lebanese teen identifies all national flags in record-breaking time. So that's something that someone else can go and try and do. And it's, you know, we all have all the national flags. So it's not like only he has it, you know.
Yeah.
That's basically, you know. Another example is the tallest living woman, which is Ramesha Gilgi. I'm sorry, I'm really bad at names and stuff. And then finally, the most tattooed person in the world, which belongs to Lucky Diamond Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, like, the most, the farthest, the longest, you know. I mean, we all pretty much knew that, but just in case you didn't know. So, how did the Guinness Book of World Records start? For one, it started being known as Guinness Book of Records. There wasn't the world part. It actually started out as an idea for a book of facts to solve arguments in pubs, which is actually straight from the world record website. It was invented in the 1950s by Sir Hugh Beaver.
Beaver.
At the time, the man was the director of the Guinness Brewery, which I actually didn't... This sounds really stupid, but I didn't know that the Guinness World Record was actually from the beer company.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know it was from that. I thought maybe, like, they eventually, like, added the Guinness part to kind of, like, advertise the beer company.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, like, its own separate thing that was added later on.
Yeah.
I also thought maybe the guy's last name was Guinness. So, that's how dumb I am.
Wow.
But anyway, so Hugh was at a shooting party, which is basically like a whole bunch of guys group hunting. You know, male bonding time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
When a bunch of friends or acquaintances started to argue about what's the fastest bird. Anyway, so he was at the shooting party, and they started arguing about what the fastest game bird was. They tried to check some kind of, like, reference book, but couldn't find the answer. Hugh must have got into a lot of arguments at the bars, because this gave him an idea to create the book under the Guinness Beer name. So, like, he must have been arguing with everybody.
Yeah.
This book would give out facts, like the fastest bird or the strongest man, etc. And that is exactly how the Guinness Book of Records was born. Eventually, obviously, it spread across the world. Probably, like, Guinness spread to different parts of the world.
Yeah.
So did the books. And it was basically born to solve drunken arguments in bars. So, I don't know why, but I thought that was really interesting. You know, who knew that, basically, bar fights would start a company, you know?
Yeah. A very famous company at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it didn't start the Guinness Beer Company, obviously,
I'm
started
talking about the record company.
Yeah,
record
that's what
company.
I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't want people to be confused, like, Guinness came first.
Yeah.
I just meant, like, the book company.
Yeah.
So now we're going to talk about the spookiest world records, which is pretty cool. This whole episode comes from an article from the Guinness World Records site, and the record and the article is from 2018. I said no. Hopefully no one has outdone these records, but foreshadowing. Yeah. There are six records that we're going to talk about. Excuse me.
Burping. You good?
Yeah, I had a burp.
Oh.
Number one record we're going to talk about. It's the largest collection of haunted dolls. And this could be subjective.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a sip of coffee, tea. If it's from a potato, is it tea or coffee?
I don't know.
Or is it just
potato
water?
I think it's because it's from a vegetable, it's a tea.
Yeah. Because, like, the leaves and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know. All right. So this world record in and of itself is definitely worth an episode of itself, like, in and of itself.
Yeah.
And I am eventually going to do an episode on it. I just, you know, didn't have a chance. So as of 2018, the title of the world's largest collection of haunted dolls actually belongs to an island. The island that I am referring to is Mexico's Island of the Dolls, or La Isla de las Muertas. I butchered it.
Mericas, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I butchered it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the island of the dolls that's got all those dolls hanging from the trees and stuff like that. Yep. Yeah, I seen
it's creepy as hell.
I seen a Discovery Channel thing on it like years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's creepy, but I think it's pretty cool at the same time.
It is.
Pretty much, it's all the dolls that were flowing down river that people were grabbing and hanging from the trees and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so I'm just gonna refer to it Island of the Dolls because I don't want to like disrespect anybody. So it's a very tiny island. It's 1 acre, which surprised the heck out of me because for some reason I thought it was this massive island. It's 1 acre, which 1 acre is really tiny. I don't even know if a house could necessarily fit comfortably on. I guess it could actually. Anyway, so it's a very tiny 1 acre island south of Mexico City. I looked it up on Google Earth, and it's really spooky. I definitely recommend doing that. That was so cool. Because, like, when you look it up on Google Earth, there's people that are actually on the island.
Yeah.
And you can kind of, like, move around the island and see, like, the different dolls and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And if you go in there, there's one room that you can go into, and you can actually, like, see the first doll that he collected, the man collected, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, it's really spooky. So, there are thousands of dolls, doll pieces, and doll heads. Way too many to count. I don't even know if Guinness World Records actually counted them all.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, they're probably like, that's a lot of...
they probably did, like, a comparison, and they're like, you know what? Yeah, this guy wins. Like, no doubt about it.
The dolls are hung from trees, bushes, fences, and buildings, and they cover, like, I want to say 80% of the property. Probably more than that, but...
Yeah.
This collection began sometime in the 1950s by a man named Don Julian Santana Barrera. He was a hermit who moved into the island at the time. I guess he just didn't want to be near people, which I don't blame him.
Yeah,
There's probably more to the story, but I'm going to cover it in the full episode.
Oh, okay.
At some point in time, he began to claim that he was being haunted by a little girl who died in the canal by the island.
Jesus.
Three whole decades later, so around the 1920s.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, I looked at it on Google Earth, and the islands are... There's islands literally, like, right next to it. Like, you could stand on this island and look across and see a bunch of other ones.
Hmm.
So, which is completely different than what you would expect.
Yeah.
Because for me, I keep thinking that it's, like, in the middle of nowhere. But it's, you know, you could hop across to the neighbors.
That would be the creepy, ominous bit if it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But, and then surrounding it are, like, these little canals. Yeah. Like, little, tiny, like, small boats can get through. So, it's pretty cool. But, so, supposedly this little girl drowned in one of the canals. So, to appease this little girl ghost, he began collecting dolls for her that began to float up from the water.
Yeah.
And he placed them around the island. And that's kind of as far as I want to get into it, because I really want to do a deep dive in a different episode. Yeah,
that would be a really good episode. Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. Yeah. And it's honestly really sad. I just, you know, I don't want to, I am kind of skipping over a lot, but I don't want to...
Ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. The Island of the Dolls is now a tourist attraction, and locals claim that at night, the dolls come to life, animated by the spirits of the dead, and begin to call, whisper, move their limbs, and turn their heads of their own accord.
Huh.
Spooky as hell, personally. Yeah. I don't know. I said that I would go visiting during the day, but I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of cursed stuff going on there.
Probably.
But you're allowed to go visit.
Yeah.
Would you go?
I would go to check it out, yeah. Just not
just
at night.
Just walk around.
I would check it out during the day, just not at night.
I don't know if I'd go at night. No. Maybe I would honestly sit next to the next island over. Be like, hey buddy, can I come watch this over there? Yeah. But
I don't know about that either.
Really?
At night, it's still too close for comfort for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they would, like, if the ghost would hop islands.
I mean, I don't
know.
Go
to the next one. I don't know. But.
I don't see why not.
So that's that world record. Yeah. Like I said, I want to do a deep dive into that, but that one was terrifying for me, looking at the pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it on Discovery Channel. It was pretty freaky.
Yeah, so definitely check that out if you want to. Go on to Google Earth and type in it, because it's spooky. So, number two, Guinness World Record, is the highest grossing ghost/haunting movie. And I want you to guess it.
13 Ghosts.
Nope.
Oh, the number one?
Yeah. Top highest grossing movie.
Poltergeist.
No.
Insidious?
No.
Older or newer?
Older.
Psycho.
Not that old. Like 1990s.
1990s. Scream?
No.
I don't know.
All right. As of 2018, the supernatural classic, The Sixth Sense.
Oh, 1999. I forgot about that movie, The Sixth Sense.
That was the the highest grossing ghost/haunted movie.
That movie's fucked up, man.
It is. As of 2018. So it stars Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment,
I think. Yeah. I don't know.
It was the highest grossing horror movie until September 8th, 2017. And what do you think it was? You're not really into horror movies.
No, I don't really watch them that much.
You want me to just say it?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm not going to guess it.
When It Chapter 1 grossed higher.
It.
Yeah, It.
I think you told me about that. I completely forgot.
Yeah, so at the time, The Sixth Sense, that's a tongue twister for me.
The Sixth Sense? Yeah.
Sixth Sense, was the highest grossing at $673 million. But it took it over, grossing $700 million. Not by a whole lot, actually. It's by, 27,000. So that's, it's not that much. It's a lot of money, but it's not that much of a difference. And I think it's just pretty cool that The Sixth Sense actually held onto that title for so long. Because the movie came out in 1999. And there's been a crap ton of horror movies, between that.
I mean, pretty much after the 90s was over, horror movies kind of just went to hell. Mm-hmm. They just turned crappy, because then all everyone was worried about was sex in this scene and then sex in that scene. As much blood as possible, as much sex as possible. Yeah. It got corny around the 2000s, because then nobody was creative anymore.
Because, I don't remember when Scream came out, but I know that that's kind of a lot of goofy, campy horror.
I mean, Scream is supposed to be...
It's a good movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, a horror film, but I don't see it as a horror film. I see it as just, in my opinion, it's literally just a slasher film. That's all it is. It's just a slasher film. There's no horror elements to it. It's about a serial killer. I mean, he's not, a ghost. He's not a demon or nothing like that.
You see it as a horror movie as, haunted stuff, whereas...
Yeah, like Jason, for example, he was a demon. He kept dying and coming back. That's scary. And then Freddy Krueger, he was a nightmare demon. Mm-hmm. He would kill you in your dreams.
And obviously Mike Myers was some twisted guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a guy, but he definitely went to, ghost or whatever.
Yeah, realm. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, there's certain elements that make a horror film a horror film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But, The Sixth Sense held the highest grossing movie for almost 20 years, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
And honestly, both creators have made really good masterpieces, so it's understandable why both were at the top.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really explain what each movie is about, because I don't want to do spoilers. So, definitely go check out The Sixth Sense and It Chapter 1.
The Sixth Sense specifically. Sixth Sense, it's a really fucked up, but it's a good movie.
Yeah.
You know.
And The Sixth Sense was directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalama.
It's
M. Night Shyamalan, but Shyamalan. I call him M. Night Shyamalama.
Yeah. And It was obviously created by Stephen King, and both of those names are, really well-known in horror, so,
Friggin' Robot Chicken with M. Night Shyamalan. What a twist!
I've never seen that, but I know what you're talking about. Okay, so number three of the Guinness World Records is the largest Ouija board. I call it Ouija, but I don't think that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Ouija board. On October 28th, 2016, the largest Ouija board was created by Blair Murphy and the Team Grand Midway USA. It was created or built on the roof of the Grand Midway Hotel in Windber, Pennsylvania, USA, which supposedly really haunted the hotel. Yeah. And it was already haunted before this, so he kind of, like, opened up the portal, if there was one, you know. Jesus. If you know.
This dude's white, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think so, anyway. In fact, the fact that the hotel was haunted is what inspired Blair, who is the owner of the hotel and the Ouija board, to create the largest board. The board is approximately 1,300 square feet.
Wow.
And it's basically the whole roof of this hotel.
Jeez.
And I think if you look on Google Earth, you can still see it, but it's really faded.
Yeah.
And at first I was wondering why they put it on the roof. But that's literally the only space they had. Because, yeah. Like I said,
you wouldn't be able to put it anywhere else. I mean, you could probably make it. You could probably make it like on the ground if you wanted to.
Well, they didn't have space. Because if you look at the area, it's like a lot of houses next to each other. Hotels. Okay. It's a smaller, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like the roof was probably their one. It's kind of a cool spot for it.
Yeah.
But it's also like their biggest area. And I also wondered if any more, like, paranormal activity happened after this. Like, if it, like, reamps or whatever, got worse. I do want to kind of talk about the Midway Hotel. I don't know if there's, like, a whole lot of paranormal stuff, but I might make it an episode. Gonna research it.
Okay.
So, sadly, this Ouija board record was overtaken in 2019.
Oh?
Yeah. Can you guess where the world's largest Ouija board was now? Like, LA. Is now? No.
Keith.
Think about it. It's on our side of the world. Or our side of the United States.
Florida. Because they do crazy stuff like that. You good?
Yeah, I thought I heard something over there. Yeah. Dude, it's getting spooky in here.
Stop it.
No, I felt like something moved. I got spooked. Jeez. Anyway, do you give up? Florida.
Yeah, I don't know.
Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Which, I want to go to Salem so bad.
I'm sure you do.
Take me, Ellen. Anyway, so constructed of 99 individual sheets of plywood and clocking in at approximately 9,000 pounds and measuring at 3,168 square feet.
Wow.
It's dubbed the Ouijizilla. It was created by Rick or Mortis Sherrick. I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing your name wrong. He's vice president of the Talking Board Historical Society, a New Jersey-based artist tattoo artist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's from Jersey. Okay. That's why he did this, because he's crazy. Huh. No.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Freaking Jerseyans, man.
Yeah. We're Jerseyans, so he can say that. it was unveiled on October 12th, 2019, and it was in the heart of the Salem Common, which is basically right next to, I think it's right next to the Salem Witch Museum.
Course.
And stuff like that. Like, it's a huge field in this close to the center of Salem. It's not there anymore, but both boards actually had, like, planchettes, too.
Oh, wow.
So, fully functional, man.
What happened to them?
The
biggest one. Like, obviously, the roof.
I think they took it down just because it was kind of like a nuisance. Well, that. Probably, and plus it's also in, like a park, so they probably didn't want to kill the grass and stuff like that. But, it was also probably just because it was just for the world record, and then they took it back down.
Yeah.
Both boards are pretty awesome, and I'm just wondering, like, what's the next big one? Like, I don't think you should top the Salem, Massachusetts one, because that's, like, proper space is in Salem.
Yeah.
Salem should hold that, you know. So, number four. Actually, we might take a quick break.
Okay.
Yep. So, we're back. And now we're going to talk about number 4 spooky Guinness World Record. I thought I should jump in and say that these aren't... I don't think they're necessarily in order by, like, the spookiest world record. It's kind of like these are just ones that have, like, either something paranormal, something spooky, something, you know.
Yeah.
Something creepy to it. So this isn't necessarily, like, the worst record or, you know. So, number 4 is the world's oldest ghost? So, the oldest ghost isn't what you think it is. I thought maybe they were talking about a person or something that, like, died a really, really long time ago. Or they just happened to be the oldest, like, in age.
Yeah.
But no. The oldest ghost is a huge ghostly reptile of serpentine form, so kind of like snaky.
Yeah.
And it's measuring 6 to 9 meters long, which I don't know how long that is, but it's pretty big.
I'll look it up. Go ahead and continue. Sure.
And it resides at Ghost Ranch, which is, like, a perfect, like, name for it. I think Ghost Ranch is in Arizona. I forgot to look that up.
30 feet.
30 feet. So, yeah, it's a
it's
pretty 29
big. Feet, 6.331 inches.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big, pretty big boy.
Yeah.
And Ghost Ranch is, like, a huge, it's 21,000-acre retreat and education center.
Yeah.
And I think it's in Arizona. Might be wrong, but anyway.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to jump in here real quick and say that the location is actually New Mexico, not Arizona, so I was wrong. Please continue.
Its name, the name of the ghost is Viveron, which is the snake demon.
Okay.
So, of course, this may not be true, but it was something really cool that was discovered on the property of the Ghost Ranch. In 1947, paleontologist Edwin H. Colbert unearthed a huge cache of fossil skeletons derived from various prehistoric reptiles. So basically, they found a bunch of dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
And it's possible... Go ahead, sorry.
Honestly, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So it's possible that this could be a dinosaur ghost. If there is, like, you know, activity. So, they actually have an idea of what they think it might be. And they think it could be a phytosaur. It's P-H-Y-T-O-S-A-U-R. Yeah. It's a phytosaur, which is not how you say it. Which is basically, it looks like an alligator.
Is it a phytosaur?
Phytosaur.
Phytosaur.
Probably not. If speculation is correct, this is, like, the ghost of an old dinosaur, this would definitely make it the world's oldest ghost, because obviously it's been around for, like, really long time.
Yeah.
I didn't look, actually, to see, like, why they think that there's a ghost there, like, if it had, like, what the activity is, but
yeah.
It's true, guys.
Which is, you know, if that is, like, a dinosaur ghost or whatever, it's really weird that we don't see more of them. You know what I mean? Like, especially when, like, when the quote-unquote meteor hit and killed off all the dinosaurs, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a very painstaking thing, and that's usually how ghosts are formed, is from trauma. And, like, those things were absolutely terrified of what was going on, and then they were just burned alive. You know what I mean?
It makes me sad.
Yeah. It is sad.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, that's definitely, like, a thing that happens with ghosts, is that, like, trauma is usually what calls it, like, unfinished business type of thing. So, you know, I'm not sure. I feel like maybe that there was something particular with that, like, fossil site.
Maybe
somebody planted them there or put them there for a specific reason, and then when he unearthed it. It's almost like the Egyptians, like, opening the fucking sarcophagi. Yeah. You're almost, like, unlocking some kind of curse.
Yep.
Maybe instead of a curse, it was just, like, this animal's being came back to life.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
It is.
So, number 5 of the spookiest Guinness World Records is the largest tarot card, which I thought was cool. And this is also kind of a cool little tie back to the world's largest Ouija board. So, in September of 2017, Terrence Kaufman and Blair Murphy, who is the owner of the first Ouija board, the one that was on the roof.
Yeah.
Well, he also made the world's largest tarot card. If you type in, I think it was the Midway Hotel into Google and look at images, you'll see, like, the inside of the hotel. And it's a very, like, different hotel. It's not, like, clean cut or anything like that. It's, you know, it's got, like, a lot of spooky stuff, but also, you know, it's hard to describe. But, he also made the world's largest tarot card. The card is 21 feet tall by 16 feet wide. It's huge. They chose to depict the universe card from the Fra tarot card deck, as they felt it was the most beautiful. Hmm. And after completing the card, they displayed it by hanging it from the ceiling of the Grand Midway Hotel. So like I said, it's like really, it's a different kind of hotel, you know? I feel like that this hotel might be haunted because of the things that could either be happening because of things that happened in the hotel or because of Blair doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a joke, but it could honestly be either way. Yeah. Like, was the hotel haunted before Blair or after Blair?
Yeah. Well, did he built the hotel?
No.
Oh, okay. No, I if he built it, then obviously, you know.
No, I think he just, let me look that up real quick. Okay, so I just took pause a minute so I could look up who built it, and just from, like, a quick Google search, I can't find that, so, but I did pull up the website of the hotel. It's Grand Midway Hotel, just in case you want to know, and they have a lot of interesting stuff. So, for one thing, you could stay in different types of suites. So, for example, they have... I'm not, like, advertising this. I just find it really interesting. They have a vampire suite, Frankenstein suite, werewolf suite, mummy suite, mermaid suite, and a bunch of others. Huh. But the cool thing that I thought was they actually have a seance parlor. They have the largest tarot card. They still talk about the Ouija board roof. And, you know, it's just really interesting. And I guess they have a few other places, too, because they talk about a Shakespeare house. So, and then in the Titanic bar, supposedly there was a 1949 unsolved murder. So I'm definitely going to dig into this guy's, but I just kind of wanted to, you know, talk about it. It sounds really interesting.
A lot of history.
Yeah, and also, I just have to say that Butch Patrick toured it, and he's kind of cool. I don't know if you know who Butch Patrick is, but he played Eddie Munster in The Munsters.
Yeah, the old kid. Munsters, not the new one.
Yeah,
the I don't even think kid. Eddie was in the new one.
I don't know, because it was supposed to be before he was born.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we're not going to talk about horrible things.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, so that's the world's largest tarot card. I looked at it. It's really pretty, so you should go look at it, too.
Yeah.
Now... Finally, we're going to talk about the last Guinness World Record, and it's number 6. It's the most expensive ghost. Sick. Yeah. And this happened recently.
Wow.
As in 2020 recently.
Jeez.
So you know what kind of chaotic shit happened, because 2020 was a chaotic year for some people. So, in March of 2020... Evie Woodbury sold 2 vials that were supposed to contain 2 different ghosts for $1,990.
Wow.
We're about to go to Dollar Tree, get some vials.
Really? Yeah, there's some ghosts
in there. Yeah, there's some ghosties in this.
There's ghosts in this.
Supposedly, these ghosts... You,
huh? It's like, I'm telling you, dude, there's ghosts in this jar.
Yeah. See? Look at that little dusties in there. Supposedly these ghosts were once ghosts that actually haunted her house, and somehow she captured them in little vials.
Because that makes sense.
Yeah. according to Avie, I think that's how you say it, A-V-I-E, Avie. Mm. So, that's what I'm saying. One of the vials contains the spirit belonging to a man by the name of Les Graham, who supposedly died in her house in the 1920s, and the second spirit... belonging to a young girl, was then summoned by Avie's partner after using a Ouija board. It's like, how dare you do that? You, like, summon this little girl, if it's true. Yeah. You summon this little girl, and then you put her in a vial.
And then you're selling
and
her?
And then that's you sell her. Or child trafficking. Like, yeah, look at that, like... you know? That's kind of rude. I'm joking, but it is kind of rude. Like, it is. You're, it's
messed up.
Yeah. The auction, which attracted more than 200,000 page views on a TradeMe website. It was actually won by Safe Smoker NZ, a company which produces electronic cigarette substitutes.
Okay then.
Don't know why. Supposedly the spirits were bottled up in holy water, as it supposedly dulls the spirits' energy, which sucks because now they're drowned in.
Yeah.
explained AV. proceeds from the sale of the expensive spirits, supposedly after an exorcism fee was deducted, went to an animal charity. So I guess it's a bonus, you know, a good bonus. Yeah. She didn't, like, take the money and run with it. It was donated. Yeah. So maybe it was true and she was just trying to get rid of these ghosts.
Or maybe she was just trying to think of a creative way to get a donation, a large donation.
Yeah. Maybe she works for the charity. Which, I mean, hey, if it works, like,
yeah.
You're selling, like, if you're selling something, it's up to the person that's buying it to validate whether they believe it or not. So, yeah. If it was real, it was real. If it was fake, it was fake. But yeah, so I mean, at least whether it's real or fake or, you know, whatever you believe, at least, like, the majority of the money went to a good cause. You know? So, that's pretty much it. That's some of the spookiest Guinness World Records. This was a really cool episode for me to, like, dive into, because it wasn't, like, a story where you have to try and base facts off of 1,000 different articles to see which one's right.
Yeah.
it's more just, like, here are the facts, here you go. Plus, it was interesting to see what people are doing.
Yeah, it's better when stuff gets right to the point.
Yeah, well, because now at this point it was, what's this person doing? What's this person doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and some of it was as current as 2020.
Yeah, so, apparently.
Yeah. I definitely want to cover more of these stories in detail, obviously. If you like this kind of an episode, where we're just laid back, chilling, talking about...
spooky boopy stuff.
Spooky boopy stuff, and just random stuff almost in general. Yep. Let me know down in the comments on YouTube, because you can't on Spotify. And, yeah, that's it. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. It's actually one of our quicker videos, podcast episodes. And, we will see you in the next one.
Catch you later.
You won't see us, but we'll see you.
As you can see, we can't.
Yeah. See ya.